Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 318. 318. Sing hymn number 67. Hymn number 67.
Screen.
in our course books on the very last page, page 35.
Me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Before I read, We'll have prayer, and then I'll read and bring the Lord's message, God willing. Our Father, as we come again into your holy presence, we come with praise upon our lips and thanks in our heart. And Lord, it's in our hearts that we prostrate ourselves before you, lay ourselves bare before you, lay ourselves in the dust before you. So thankful, oh God, that you opened our heart, opened our mind, opened our understanding, took us from darkness into light, from death into life, from sin to righteousness. And oh God, thank you. And Lord, I ask that you'd meet with us tonight. Meet with us tonight. Come among us. And Lord, be merciful and gracious to those we love, our children, our grandchildren, husbands, wives, sons and daughters. Every one of us got someone we're praying for you to do something for. So Lord, hear us when we cry, and do it for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to start reading here in verse 5, read down to verse 18, and I'm going to preach on Christ, God's ark. Christ, God's ark. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked before God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife's son. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, there's two things he mentioned about the last days in Matthew 24. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so that was a day of nobody. All flesh was horrible, horrendous. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But he also said, as it was in the day of Noah, shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, said it was they were marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking and doing. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But the scripture says that they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So they were too involved in life, in the world, and in the things of the world, and did not know anything at all until God said they knew not. And then the flood came upon them. And I tell you what, and that's the thing about it. People don't know. They don't know. They just go on and on and on like it's never going to happen. But in verse 5, it tells us here that God saw, chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw the wickedness. He sees all. God knows all. He sees everything. He said even the imagination of the thoughts, the imagination of the thoughts. God said, it tells us there that God saw the wickedness upon the earth. And he saw the thoughts. He saw the imaginations. He saw how evil they were, how wicked they were. God, nothing passes by God's eye. God sees everything. He sees right now into our minds, into our hearts, and everything about us. And he saw this people, and he said, there's nobody as wicked on the earth as these people right now. And I tell you, and he sees, and he sets the judgment upon all. He said the judgment upon all these people. And like it is in the days of Noah, salvation is exactly the same as it was in the days of Noah. Ain't that what it says there in verse 8? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. It says, you know, that these are the generation of just men. How did he become a just man? Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Same way you and I are made just. How was he made a right perfect in his generations? How was he made perfect? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God didn't look at him and say, boy, he's a fine fella, he's a great fella, he's a righteous man, he's a good man, he's a perfect man, so therefore I'm going to show him some grace. No, grace made him what he was. He was as bad as everybody else in those days. He was as wicked as everybody else. He was as lost as everybody else. But God said, Noah, you found grace in my eyes. And because you found grace, I'm going to save your wife and your three sons and your three sons' wives. And I tell you, that's the salvation has always been by grace. It's never been any other way. When Adam fell, God had to go find Adam. Adam never went to God. God went to Adam. God called Adam out. And that's the way he's got to do with everybody. He's got to go where we are. And God had to come. And all this wicked generation, God looked at one man and said, he's found grace. I'm going to give him grace. Huh? And I'll tell you something about him. He was a man, a sinner by nature, like everyone else born of Adam. And you know what his name means? Look up here in chapter 5 and verse 20. You know what his name means? I think it's 529. Excuse me, I'm sorry, 529. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, this name shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. And I tell you what, his name means rest. His name means comfort. And that's what, you know, that's the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. Rest and comfort. And his father said, God's going to give me rest and comfort through this man right here. And I tell you, through our Lord Jesus Christ, God gives us rest and gives us comfort. And all he had to be saved by grace is everything before everybody before him and everyone since. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And Christ is the key for us to ever have a true understanding of how God saved Noah. And the ark that Noah built, Noah's preaching, when he preached 120 years, and the flood that came and destroyed all. The only way you can understand it is see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of this. Now here's the thing. God gave Noah a work to do, and he finished that work. And God gave Christ a work to do, and Christ finished that work. Christ finished that work. Now let's look at this ark, Christ being our God's ark. First of all, I want you to look here in verse 13 and 14. God was the one who provided the ark. Nobody even had any idea what an ark was, or didn't have any idea they needed an ark. But look what it says. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then look what God told him to do. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within, and without with pitch. Now what in the world would, you know, Noah was going about his daily life, and then all of God come to him and said, I want you to build an ark. And an ark's a boat. And if I understand the dimensions of this thing's 460 foot long. 460 foot long. I didn't add up how many it was tall, but the wind alone was one square cubit, and the door. But here's the thing about it. This wasn't some little old bitty thing. I mean, it's going to hold every creeping, crawling thing on the earth, and it's going to hold two of every clean beast on the earth. But here he was. This ark was provided by God, and he provided it before the flood, before ever a drop of rain fell. God provided this ark. And that's the way and there was no danger of rain coming or the flood starting until the ark was provided. And God, we did not know it. We wasn't aware of it, was not conscious of it. But God provided us a Savior before he ever put Adam in the Garden of Eden. Before Adam was ever created, before there was ever a sinner, before Adam ever fell, God had us a Savior. Christ was provided for us as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And 1 Peter 1 says, being redeemed not of corruptible things, but incorruptible, but with the precious blood of Christ as a Lamb without spot and without blemish, who was ordained before the foundation of the world. So God, we had a Savior. God had a Savior before Adam ever fell, before he ever even made Adam. And I tell you, he did. That's one thing that our Lord Jesus Christ, before there was ever a sin that entered this universe, before Adam was ever made, before he ever fell, we had a Savior. We had someone to intercede for us and provide for us. And we didn't know it. Didn't know it. I lived about 22 and a half, 23 years before God I ever knew that I needed a Savior. And oh my. And you know what it was that caused the flood? It's man's awful, wretched sin. You know what? God brings judgment upon people because of sin. Sin. It was sin, man's sin, that caused the flood. And that's the reason the ark was provided. And because man is sin, man is an awful, wicked, terrible creature. And this shows us that God had to provide us some salvation. He had to provide it for us because we'd have never known anything about it. But I'll tell you something. This shows us two things here. First of all, God is just. He's just. You think he mistreated those people when he punished them with the flood? You think he was unjust to destroy the whole world? Do you think he was unjust to send all those folks and make that flood come on them? I mean, from a baby to a granny, from the youngest to the oldest. You think he is unjust to do that? When he looked around and he saw everything on this earth and he said, these people are so awful. And he used a language like we would. I'm sorry that I ever made this bunch. I'm sorry that I ever created man. He's corrupted himself on this earth. And he ain't got a good thought in his mind. His mind is evil in imagination. Not just every once in a while, continually. You think God's unjust to destroy that crowd? Oh, this shows us two things. First of all, that God is just. He is just. He must punish sin. He ain't going to let nobody get by with nothing. People say, I want God to deal with me fairly. Believe me, he will. You'll get what's coming to you. And I tell you, that's what happened here. And then not only that, he was even a just God towards Noah, and we'll get to that later, but it also shows us that he's a Savior. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm a just God. And boy, when they said, Noah, prepare you an ark, he said, I'm a just God. I'm going to destroy all flesh. But it also says, I'm a Savior. and I'm going to save. You know how I'm going to save? I'm going to save by grace. How am I going to save? In an ark by somebody else bearing the wrath of God. And God, let me tell you something else about happened here. In verse 8, God revealed his will to Noah. He would have perished in the flood like everybody else. But it says there in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And oh my, you know how Noah was saved from this flood? You know how Noah was saved in this ark? It was an act of pure, free grace to provide an ark. A pure, free grace. That's what it was. It was pure, free grace that saved Noah. Pure, free grace. You know, when Abraham started up the mountain, take his son Isaac, and was going to offer him a sacrifice, they started up that mountainside. And they had the wood, they had the fire, they had the knife, they had everything for a sacrifice. And Isaac asked his father, he said, Father, we got everything, but where in the world is the lamb? He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God's going to provide a way to save you and me both. God's going to make a way for you to come back off this mountain with me. God's going to provide a lamb to put in your place. And that's what God did here. He provided for Noah before the flood ever come. And I tell you, it never rained. It never rained. What a strange experience it's going to be. Look down here in verse 17 and 18. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that's in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Oh my. He said, I'm going to send a flood. He didn't know what a flood was. Did anybody know what a flood was then? It never rained. God watered the earth strictly with dew up to that time. It never rained. It'd be a strange thing. But he said, Noah, and there in verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And you're going to come into the ark. You're going to come into the ark, your sons and your sons' wives. And I tell you what, beloved, if anyone ever knows God's will of salvation, if anyone ever sees God's grace, they're going to have to see it. And he gives it to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he must reveal it. There's no way in the world that you can understand grace. There's no way in the world that you can understand God's will. No way in the world you can understand how God saves a sinner unless God reveals it to you. Did you know that? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, what did he do? He shined in our heart. What did he shine? The light of his glory. Where at? In the person of his blessed Son. I want you to see my glory. Where's it at? In my Son. In my blessed Son. Right here. Right now. And oh, God provided this ark. And if anyone ever knows, God's got to reveal it. He says that no man can receive nothing. Nothing except it be given him from heaven. And to as many as received him, to them, gave he the power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of the will of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. God's the one who has to give this power. And Noah preached for 120 years. And Noah told everyone that what was going on. Do you know, he couldn't do that. He couldn't build that ark by himself. He couldn't build that ark by himself. Him and his three sons couldn't have built it by themselves. It took them over 120 years to build that ark. 120 years. So he had laborers helping him. He had people working with him to help build that ark. But those people that worked on that ark didn't get in that ark.
They thought, this old man's crazy. He is nuts. He is building him a big old wooden boat here. Big old wooden thing. I mean, 420 foot long. Long, big old thing. Got all kinds of rooms in it. He's going to have to live in this thing. And oh my. And I tell you, that took them 120 years to build that ark. And God had already told him. You know, if God told us, you know, here's the thing about it. I've been preaching here. Dirk corrected me the other day. I thought it had been 45 years, but 44. 44 years. And I remember Scott Richardson preaching one time about coming into the ark. And he preached so intensely and so powerfully that I was sitting about two rows back. And I wanted to get up and get in that ark right then and there. I wanted to get in that ark. I wanted to be in Christ. And that's what this is about. I tell you, God provided an ark. And nobody will ever know anything about that ark. Nobody will ever. People sit and hear a preacher preach time and time and time and time again. And yet never hear what he has to say. Noah preached the preacher of righteousness for 120 years while he was building that ark. How did he preach? A flood's coming. A flood's coming. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. God said, all you folks are wicked. All you folks are terrible. All you God said he's going to destroy you. Oh, they laughed at him. They mocked him. And they said, how can that be? I seen a little old thing the other day. You know what? A rock in a bad person's hand will kill you. A rock in Cain's hand, he killed his brother. A rock in David's hand, he slew Goliath. It's not the rock, it's in whose hands it in. Well, some nut said, listen, does that mean that we all have to have the right to have rocks? he missed the whole point. He's making fun of us. Making fun of that. Let's all just get a bunch of rocks and start killing people. That's just stupid. But what I'm telling you is that men have always made fun of God. They always have and they always will. If people believed, now here's the thing about it. If you preach salvation by water, you'll have a big house. And especially if you warm the water. And here's another thing, that if you preach salvation by works and by man's free will and tell him that God's going to bless him for all the work that he's doing, and because of all he's doing, then you'll have a house full. But you preach salvation by another, by substitution, by free grace, by God providing it all, and Noah being saved by grace, and all of us being saved by grace. Noah, I'm telling you what, the only reason he had an ark is God said, I've got to provide a place for you to be saved. And God provided us a salvation in his blessed Son. And you tell people that, and my children ain't interested in it. They're interested in going everywhere else but to hear the gospel. My grandsons in their 30s, their 20s and 30s, they don't care. My brother don't care. My sister don't care. Who cares? Oh, they love me and they think the world of me, but they don't think anything about what I have to say. Have you got anybody in your family like that? Well, that's what Noah had to contend with for 120 years. And he kept every time that saw would run and saw a big old board. And they'd put them boards together and they had to curve them boards and had to make those things come out. And every time he laid those boards on top of one another, he was preaching. Judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming. Rain's coming. God's going to destroy you. God told me he's going to destroy all flesh on this earth. And you think any of them said, boy, listen, Noah, you reckon he'd let me in? Would you pray for me and please pray for me that I can get in the ark? Would you plead with God for me that God, maybe God would let me in the ark? Not one person, not one soul can you find in the scripture said, Noah, Would you please plead with God? Tell me about God so I can call on him. I'd like to get in that ark myself. Not one person. You think man's not evil? Oh, my. And I tell you, God in grace now reveals himself not in an ark, but in his blessed Son. Oh, my. I want you to see something. You keep Genesis and look over here in Ephesians with me, chapter 1. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed in one place and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things. Hid what? The grace of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, that thou hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. But oh my, look what it says here. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, because of this grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And this beloved is whom we have redemption, the payment price, through his blood. And that blood even brought the forgiveness of sins. And why did he do it? Oh, he's rich in grace. And then look what he says. And in this riches of grace and in this glory of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And listen to this now. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What is that mystery? Salvation is by grace for Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. The mystery of his will, and here's why he did it, according to his good pleasure. And look what it says, which he hath purposed in himself. He let us know that whatever he does his own purpose. He gave us that glory of grace. He does it on purpose. Made us accept in the beloved. He did it on purpose. He made known the mystery of his will on purpose. And he said, Noah, it's my purpose to destroy everybody and save you. And he prepared an ark. Oh my. No, our Lord says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, been taught of God, cometh unto me, for they shall all be taught of God. And let me tell you another thing about it. We go back to Genesis. The ark was the only refuge from God's judgment, from God's wrath. There was no other place. You know that why he said, I'm going to send a flood to destroy all flesh. He said, I'm going to send a flood and destroy all flesh. And that was God's judgment. And the wrath of God's going to come on that generation. And I tell you, the only refuge from the judgment wrath of God was in that ark. Huh? Oh my, you read it the other night out of 1 Thessalonians 5. We've not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Now there's three arks in the scriptures. Three of them. And there's three things that can destroy us in this universe that can harm us and destroy us. The first ark was Moses' ark. You remember Pharaoh said, if these Hebrew women have men children, I want them to die. I want them to die. We're going to be too many of them. There's going to be more of them than they are us. She said, I want them killed. I want them all destroyed. Well, Moses' wife, Moses' mother had Moses, and he was a proper child, the scripture said. That means that he was chosen of God. And she kept him for 3 months and kept him hid. And she built her an ark. And she took that thing and put it out in the river. Made it out of bulrush and set it out in the river. She took a 3-month-old baby, a mother, done this. Because she knew that if those Egyptians found it, going to kill that baby. She put it in that little old bulrush. Put in that ark, and that Satan hated God, and he said, I want all those children destroyed. Put him in there. Guess who found him? Pharaoh's daughter. She went over there and said, oh, look. And then she brought him up there, And guess who she said, he needs a nurse. Send over and get him a nurse. And you know who his nurse was? His mama. That's God's purpose for you, I'm telling you. You got the wisdom of God. Oh, my. And it's like Job. Job said, Satan said to God, he said, you let me at him and I'll have him cussed you into his face. It was Satan that come and deceived our mother Eve. And our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, I tell you what, our Lord defeated Satan at the cross, disarmed him. He has no power. He can't do anything unless Christ lets him. And the second ark is the Ark of the Covenant. That's the ark that God had them to build. It, when they built the tabernacle, it was about 40 inches long and about 2 foot high, and it was made out of shittim wood, and then they overlaid it with gold. They put gold all over that, and they put a lid on it. And on that gold on the top of it, it's called a mercy seat. And on that, and inside that ark, they put the two tables of the law. They put them in there that come down from the mountain. And then they put a pot of manna in there. And then they took Aaron's rod that budded and put it in there. And see that, and that ark was made, and there was a mercy seat on top of that ark. And you know what? And in that law, in that, why they put that law, broken law, in that ark was because it was hid under the mercy seat. And it, we was condemned, but when you got to that mercy seat, all condemnation was gone. And Christ is our mercy seat, and there's therefore now no condemnation in Christ. The law is fulfilled in us, and in Christ, he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So the law can't help hurt us. Law can't do nothing to us. It's been fulfilled. Who fulfilled it? Christ did. And we did in him. No condemnation. And that mercy seat is over that broken law. Ain't you grateful we got a mercy seat over that law? Oh, my. And then here's Noah's Ark. Here's Noah's Ark. God's angry. Angry with the wicked. His wrath and judgment is fixing to come. But you know, the only person that never, the only place that you could bear the wrath and judgment of God was being in that ark. And the only place we could bear the judgment and wrath of God is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing about it. Noah bore God's wrath. He endured God's judgment, but it was in the ark. The rain fell on him just like it did everybody else. The flood came on him like it did everybody else. But you know what? Not one drop fell on him. Huh? Not one drop of rain. There wasn't any water seeped into that ark. Oh, the ark bore that beating of the rain. The ark was carried through that flood. While everyone else in the ark was saved, nobody else was. Look in Isaiah 43 with me for a moment. Isaiah 43. You know, this is thank God. God gave us an ark, gave us Christ. Oh, my. Yeah, that ark bore God's wrath. Noah did too, in the ark. During God's judgment in the ark. And look what he said here in verse 2, Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Well, he just passed through the waters. He just passed through the waters. He went through that flood. And he said, when you go through the waters, I'm going to go with you. They ain't going to come over you. They're not going to come over you. And oh my, the ark bore the beating of that rain. The ark bore that flood. The ark bore them up in that flood. Everyone in that ark was saved. And oh, Noah and his sons, You reckon they were afraid? You reckon they were anxious? You reckon they was afraid? You reckon they was scared?
I'd say they probably were. I'd say they probably were. You know, they was in that ark a long time. It took 40 days for that water to get up enough to move that ark. He was in that ark 40 days before it ever got up. And 40 days always means testing. And here he was. They was in that ark. And they was afraid, no doubt probably were. When that rain started beating, and it was a while before the ark moved. But let me ask you something. Did their fear, did their anxiety, or did their feelings make them any less saved? Make them any less secure? They might have been scared to death, but they're still saved. They were still secure. They might have been anxious, but they were still saved. They still, their feelings didn't enter into it. And let me tell you this. Look over here in chapter 7, verse 1 with me. You know, God told Noah, he said, you're going to come into the ark. You and your family is going to come into the ark. And look what he says here. First of all, in verse 22, it says this. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And everything God gave Christ to do, so did he. He finished it. And listen to this now. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. I love this right here. What does that tell us? The Lord told Noah, said, come into the ark. So if God was on the outside, he would have said, go into the ark. But God was in that ark with him. Christ was in that ark with him. He said, come in here. Come in here. Come into the ark. In the Garden of Eden, he drove out man. Here, he said, come. And that's what our Lord tells us. He says, come, come. Oh, my, here he brings him in. Here's what you call effectual calling. Oh, I could just hear the average preacher, if you know, when he's, you know, Noah, he's been preaching for 120 years, and he's already in the ark. He's preaching's over and done with. And here he's in the ark. And I can just hear preachers when they're getting ready to talk about the ark and all that, said, listen, let's just sing another verse of Just As I Am. Sing one more verse of come to, it's supper time, come. Let's sing one more verse of that. Oh, listen, God wants so much for you to get in the ark. Oh, he wants you in that ark so bad. But God ain't going to infringe upon your will. You got to be willing to come. No, God got it. God was in that ark and just said, Noah, come. Do you reckon Noah would have said, nope, I ain't coming? No. Here's an effectual calling. When God says come, you're coming. Could Noah have refused? No. For whom he nor did foreknow, them he also called. Oh, my. As many as were ordained to eternal life. What'd they do? They believed. Our Lord said, all that the Father gives me, what are they going to do to me? All that the Father gives me, they're going to come to me. They're going to come to me. And blessed is the man the Lord chooses. And back up here in verse 18 of chapter 6, it says this, but with thee I will establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark. Not only you, but your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. He said, you're coming. That's what's so wonderful about preaching the gospel. I don't have to talk anybody into anything. That's what's so wonderful about the gospel. You don't have to talk anybody into anything. You know, the Lord, if he don't do the work, it ain't going to be, it ain't going to be done. And, oh, God didn't ask him, do you want to go in? And you know, there's certain characteristics to ever
promise given in the Bible to every one of them. Or calls, I should say call. There's characteristics of every call given in the Scriptures. Our Lord stood in that last day of the feast and cried, "If any man's thirsty, let him come to me." Now, how many folks you reckon come to him? People that were thirsty. Nobody else did. Huh? And then he said, "If any man's hungry, I'm that bread which came down from heaven." Huh? You know who come to him? The hungry. He said, "If any man's labored and heavy laden," I mean he's wore out with his sins. He's tired of carrying his sins. He's so heavy laden with his guilt and his condemnation. "Let him come unto me." Oh my. Sinners, I come not to call the righteous, call but sinners. Who you reckon come to him? Sinners. Oh my. It said, "Oh, they that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick." Those impotent. Oh, there was people come to him and said, "Lord, if you will, if you will, if you will." And God willed for Noah to have an ark. God willed for Noah to come into that ark. And God provided us an ark, and God willed for us to come into it. And that ark is our Lord Jesus Christ. And if God willed for you to come into that ark, believe me, just as sure as God's on his throne, you're going to come. I don't care if you're 75, 85, or 5. Don't make any difference to me. God's going to do it. Oh, my. God was in that ark. God was in that ark and said, "Come." God is in Christ reconciling us to himself. And he says, "Come, come." And old Todd said one time, I never forgot it. He said, "The moment you start coming to Christ, you immediately arrive. The moment you start coming, you're there." Oh, I gotta get up and go there. Nope. The minute you start coming, you're already there. Can't do that no other place. If you gotta go somewhere, you gotta go from here to there. But not with Christ. You start toward him, you're there. That quick. All right. Noah had absolute security in that ark. He said back over here in verse 14 of chapter 6. Look what he said over here. He had absolute security in that ark. He said, "Pitch it within." He said, "Make the ark of gopher wood in the ark, and thou shalt make rooms in it, and pitch it within and pitch it without." That word "pitch within, without," that's the same word for atonement. That means that it's judgment proof. And the blood of Christ makes us judgment proof. The blood of Christ covering us, washing us from our sin. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, when it's applied, it sanctifies us. Makes us secure, safe from the judgment of God. 1 Peter said we're kept by the power of God through faith. And you know, I read it tonight back in the study, Colossians 3. In 3 it says, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." If your life's hid with Christ in God. That's a pretty good hiding place, ain't it? Oh, and then look what it says there in verse 16 of chapter 7. "And they went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him." He done just like God told him to do. And listen to this. "And the Lord shut him in." The Lord shut him in. Oh. Shut him in from the flood. Shut him in from the wrath. Shut him in from the judgment. Shut in from the world. Shut in by God. And here's the best part about it. Shut in with God. Huh? And all those, but who were left out? Who was left out? Oh, my. people who were preached to, people left out who were preached to, people were left out who were prayed for, people were left out who were associated with building the ark, people who had seen wonders. They stood and watched as Adam, you know, when Adam built that, Aaron built that ark. Noah built that ark. I'll get it right here in a minute. When Noah built that ark, you know, all the animals had to come. Seven of every clean animal. That means seven lambs, seven bullocks, seven heifers, seven goats. And then two of everything else had to go in that ark. So they had to go in that ark, and you know how, and then they had to be put in the right places. They had to go to the right place and be put in the right, big old giraffe. You have word, how's the giraffe going to fit in there? He'd go fit. He'd be all right. Big old lions going in there. Tigers. Rhinoceros and all these things. And oh, my big old elephants, and here they come in there, two by two by two. It took a while for that to happen. And so all those folks that helped that and all those folks living around him, they seen that. Why in the world's all them animals going in? What in the world's going on here? I never seen anything like it. Look at all them animals parading in there. Look at them two big old elephants. Look at them two lions. Look at them two tigers. Look at them two giraffes. Look at them seven sheep. Look at them seven goats. Look at all them things going in there. And they watched it. But do you think, boy, that's something strange going on around here. They saw the wonders of it. But they were shut out. The door, and listened. The door was shut. God shut them in. And that was the only way into the ark. Look over here in verse 16. It said there's, I think it said, yeah, verse 16. Maybe it's, yep, 16 of chapter 6. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and a door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. You got second, third stories here, you make it. That door's got to be three stories high. And oh, listen, what happens was, there was only one way into that ark. There's only one door. One door. And you know where that door was? It's in the side. And you know what our Lord said? I am the door. You know what a door is used for? Either let people in or keep people out. That's what it's used for. And you know, when you open your door, if it's a stranger, you don't automatically say, well, listen, come on in. But if you all knock on my door, and you knock on my door, I'm going to just open that door and open it wide and say, welcome, come on in here. I'm just so good to see you. We're welcome. But for strangers and people that you don't know and people that you can't trust, you shut the door. Yeah, that's the way our Lord is. The door is open for his people, but shut against the world. Huh? Oh, my. And when that door was shut, all hope was gone. And I'll tell you what, as the church come from the side of Christ, and I'll tell you what, the tabernacle had one door, one way in, and our Lord, he is the door into the church. Then he says, build you a window. He said there in verse 16 again, put you a window. One window. And that window was above. You know, there's only one way he could look. And that was up. And you know what? Looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, we look to our Lord Jesus Christ, where our affections is set on Christ, who is above. We're looking for the appearing of our great Savior and Jesus Christ. Oh, one window. And I tell you what, he had to look up. And that's what we do. We look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what it said in verse 17. And I'll wind it up here of chapter 7, verse 17.
And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. It took 40 days for that water to lift that ark up. And listen to what it says, and the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon all the earth and upon all the hills that were under the whole earth. Two times it says here, the waters prevailed. The waters prevailed. What did prevail over? Their unbelief. Their unbelief. Their indifference. I bet those folks wasn't indifference afterwards. Oh, I'll tell you, when that ark started coming and that rain started coming, started coming up, got up about to their waist. Don't you reckon they was banging on that ark? Oh, my. But it's over their indifference, over their pleasures. No more marrying and giving in marriage. No more making fun of God. No more making fun of Noah. And I tell you, it prevailed over their efforts to save themselves. Oh, my. And you know what the first thing Noah did after he got off that ark? Look over here in Genesis 8:20. First thing he did. Oh, God told him to go forth out of the ark, come out of the ark, and bring everything with you that's living. And look what it says in the verse 20. After he brought everything off that ark, and they got off that ark, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord. First thing he wanted to do is he wanted to worship God. And he took one of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart's evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any man more everything living as I have done. And so I tell you what, the waters prevailed. But the first thing Noah wanted to do, he said, I want to go offer sacrifice. I need to worship God. He's just saved me. He just saved me. And I need to worship God. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, again, we thank you for allowing us to meet with you. And you meet with us. Lord, thank you for the worship we've had today. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truths that you've opened our hearts. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be one of those peoples ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want you to teach me. I want to be taught of you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, my Father, take the things of Christ and show them to me, show them to us. We can learn together. Lord, forgive us of everything that's so unlike you. And Lord, thank you for providing our Lord Jesus Christ for us. That place, that hiding place, that refuge, that place from the wrath and judgment of God, that place of no condemnation, that place of worship, that one offering that's already been offering. Oh, Lord, we bless you for it. God bless you people as they go on their way. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know if y'all know this chorus or not. Maybe you can. I don't know if we got it in here or not. But I'm going to try to sing it if I can find it. Under the blood of Jesus. It's not in here, is it? You know, how much?
Eight.
Eight? Yeah, okay, eight, yeah. Let's sing it. You know the tune of that, Marlene? Well, let's try it. I may be able to sing it, I may not. If I can't, I'll quit. Let's stand together. Under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold, Safe though the worlds may crumble, safe though the stars grow dim, under the blood of Jesus, I am secure in Him. Maybe we'll do better next time. It's a good one. It's a good one. Good night and God bless you.